Having an alter ego isn't just for superheroes anymore. Millions of people around the world have created some form of alternate identity online. But where do you draw the line between fantasy and reality? Here with more is our tech expert, Mario Armstrong. Hey, Mario.
Hey, Farai. How are you?
I'm doing great. So let's talk about these virtual personas and virtual worlds. What has attracted people to these games and communities?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the idea that someone can take on oneself or project to be who you would really want to be. I mean, the idea of creating your own persona online really is appealing to a lot of people. You know, the fact that I can kind of create a character that I would like to be or aspire to be or want to imitate, I can't really do that in real life. I mean, I guess I could try to take on that form or that role, but I can do it much easier with today's technology online. So it's really seen a lot of popularity because of that instant feedback of being able to create your own world or navigate through your own world and create your own person in that world.
Talk specifics, Mario. What are the names of some of these games? What are their features? Why do people like them?
Yeah, some of them are widely known, like World of Warcraft is an online video game that you play through your computer, and that has well over 27 million users that play this game. So this isn't a game that people aren't aware of or aren't playing. There are other games out there. There's one that's actually called Second Life, which is actually what you're actually doing. You're creating a second life. So this is like a really real world. And I think what's really interesting here, Farai, is a lot of these types of technologies are often seen as frivolous or just linear. And a lot of significant positive innovations are not going reported. And so this online gaming culture needs to have some more understanding, some wider publicity so that the technologies that are being used and are being developed can be used by people that have no idea that these platforms or games even exist. And then I think we'll really start to see more impact.
So tell me about the diversity of people who play games like these. I mean, I remember reading once in a newspaper article about how all of these top technology guys were playing World of Warcraft. What kinds of people play these games?
You're absolutely right. It's pretty amazing when you start looking at the list or start uncovering who's actually involved in some of these games. I've talked to, anecdotally, some people that are in the video game industry but work for companies like Microsoft, and they won't say the word addicted, although that word does come up when it comes to some of these virtual worlds.
Frequently with video games.
It does, especially with this World of Warcraft, where you kind of create your own clan and things of that nature. So I've seen a lot of CEOs from major companies, I think, would shock some people to not only be playing maybe World of Warcraft, but more importantly, be checking out these virtual worlds like Second Life and others and start orienting their business mind and their leadership mind about what's happening in these virtual communities and how what they are seeing online can affect what actually happens in the real world.
How can it affect what happens in the real world?
Well, if you take an example like, for instance, out in New York, there's a program for the Lower East Side Girls Club of New York is what it's called. And they actually use Second Life, and they've used it for a variety of different services. But it's been geared towards like ages 8 to 18 and their families. And it introduces these families and these kids really into the whole idea of this organization. So you're seeing more and more, say, nonprofits look at how they can use these virtual worlds to not only increase awareness, publicity, maybe even fundraising, but to get people to understand exactly what their initiatives are in the virtual sense, get people involved in a virtual way, and then get those virtual members to be active offline. You're really starting to see nonprofits and universities like University of Maryland, Georgia Tech, and others start to use these virtual environments as real-world platforms that can be informative but also educational.
So, Mario, I understand that you can use real currency, i.e. cold hard cash, in some cases to affect these virtual worlds. Explain that to me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people actually set up shops. They actually set up commercial environments in some of these virtual worlds. I mean, this is reality happening on the internet, happening in a virtual world, but everything that we do is still done in these environments. In some of these online worlds, they have real money, a GDP that's greater than many real world countries in some cases. So you're absolutely right, Farai. I mean, a lot of folks have been actually not only just living in these virtual worlds, but actually making money in these virtual worlds, real money being made. For example, there's a woman that creates clothing for virtual characters inside of the game Second Life. So if you wanted to buy her specific line, you would pay for her clothing that would be customized for your character. And this gets repeated on and on throughout these types of virtual worlds. So I think we're only at the touch of the beginning of what this implications of how virtual worlds can be used. So it's going to be a lot to be seen, but I think it's not going away, that's for sure. We're going to see more uses of this technology.
Well, that sounds exciting. Mario, thanks so much.
Thank you, Farai.
Mario Armstrong is News & Notes tech contributor. He also covers technology for Baltimore area NPR member stations, WYPR and WEAA.